God's good. If you believe He's better than good, give Him a hand clap. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God is good. Amen. Aren't you thankful to be living for Him tonight? Amen. It's such a pleasure to see everybody and be in the house of the Lord. And it's always good to be in God's presence, because there are things that God can do in His presence that He just won't do. And so it's good to be gathered together with people of like precious faith. I'm going to go to the book of Genesis tonight to read a text, and I'm going to get right into my study because there's a meeting after church with a few people, so I don't want to hold everybody up. But God's good. I thank Him for strength. I thank Him for health. And I thank God that He has His hand on us. And that's the most important thing, that God keeps His hand on us. And because He knows how to order the steps of a good man. Somebody say amen. 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 Keep us in prayer. Of course, I'm waiting for a few things. And so we're just kind of, that's where we are. And I just know everything's going to be okay. But at any rate, God is good. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. No matter what happens down here, you make sure God's your reward, and you won't ever feel that life has shortchanged you, because we do everything for Him. And Abraham said, Lord, what will thou give me, seeing that I go childless? And he said, what about the steward of my house, one Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born of my house can be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, it's amazing how we concoct these ideas. This is why you need a prayer life where you talk to God, because a lot of times you concoct your own ideas and you come up with your own plan and you like to attach God to it, and God's not anywhere involved in what you're doing. And then you get out there and make a mess and you say, oh Lord, I should have waited. And so Abraham's got this plan, but the word of the Lord came. Hey, nothing better than the word of the Lord. Because one word from God's throne can change anything in your life. And it did for Abraham. He said, the Lord said unto him, he said, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven, tell the stars if they be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And this is where I'm headed tonight. I talked about faithfulness last Sunday. Or last Wednesday, I should say, you should endeavor to make this year the most faithful year living for God. Amen. If you wasn't here, you should go back and listen to that on the website. God requires faithfulness. Not that you got to be perfect, but He requires faithfulness. And tonight I want to talk about righteousness, because this scripture jumped out. I shared it with you Sunday morning. And he believed in the Lord, and God counted that to him for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? He just said, God, I trust what you're going to do. And God said, put righteousness on his tab, because he believed in what I said. Somebody say amen. You may be seated tonight. Righteousness is not revealed in good behavior. You know, I don't want you to take that out of context and think that's a license to go do whatever. But true righteousness is revealed in Jesus Christ. He is the righteous branch. And so you have to understand that there's a lot of people that, to me, I don't feel like they understand the righteousness of God. Because what you really have to understand is righteousness don't come from you. Righteousness is something that comes to us but it comes from God. Amen. And so that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, because there are benefits in being righteous and doing the right thing. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so there's benefits not in the afterlife of going to heaven, because the scripture clearly says that when you look through the Bible says that the righteous will shine forth as the sun. Of course, this is a reference that there will be no darkness. And if you punched your ticket to heaven, you're going to go to a place where the Lamb shall be the light, and there will be no darkness that will ever overtake you. And he's talking about eternal things. And so when death, hell, and the grave all pass away, the only thing that'll be left is the righteousness of God. And of course, in another place, the writer said that, he said, on that day, he said that the coming of the Lord will be on that great and last day, that Jesus will be clothed in fine linen. And he goes on to say that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. I don't know about you, but that just, the way that's worded, that just gets all over my spirit. And so when he talks about the righteousness of the saints, it's a reference to eternity, that they will be forever. That you're going to a place one day because of his righteousness, where you'll be forever and you'll have victory over hell, death, and the grave. The things that plague humanity will plague humanity no more. But there's benefits in the afterlife, but there's benefits living righteous here. And you shouldn't, you just bank on everything in the next world. You should get up and try your best to live righteous down here. Amen. James said this, as we were just talking about prayer. James said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so there's a lot to be said about this text. He talks about effectual and he talks about fervent. So he talks about prayer, but prayer is not something that should be passive or dismissive. And it's not a complacent thing that should be lazy. But prayer is something that when you pray, there should be some fervency. It should be effectual. And it needs to be prayed by a righteous man. That's what James said. Now, I've met some folks in my lifetime since I've been in church, and I'm sure that you have too as well. I've met some people that I could tell after talking to them for a few minutes, they didn't feel they were very righteous. They somewhat took more of a humble approach. And then I've met some that you don't have to talk to them long, and you think they come out the Godhead or something. I mean, you can tell they think a whole lot about themselves. Well, I think you'd be best to find yourself somewhere in the middle, but I think it's best to be humble and understand that if there's any righteousness in me, it didn't come from me. It's only because God bestowed it upon us. Come on, somebody. Because you can't develop righteousness within yourself, and that's the problem today, is because we're called the righteousness of God, and we are, is that people tend to lift themselves up. And they think that because they're righteous or deemed righteous in the scripture, that gives you a right to look down on other people that may not be. Well, you don't have any right to look down on anybody. None. Because the scripture says there's none righteous. No, not one. And truthfully, there ain't nobody in here that's worthy to be called righteous. The fact of the matter is that God covered us. And he clothed us with his righteousness. And that should not elevate me. That should really do the opposite. And it should humble me in the presence of God. I've seen people before. Hey, Brother Knowles, I met a man. He's a righteous man. I don't know if I can say that. I don't know that I could agree that I'm a righteous man. Because righteousness comes from God. God's got to bestow that on an individual. And if there is righteousness, it's not anything that he done. It's only the righteousness of God. Come on, somebody. Because God knows the heart, and God knows righteousness comes to us from him. And so only he knows if righteousness has been bestowed upon an individual. I really don't know that. So it's hard for me to look and say that individual is a righteous person. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, and he said, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. I don't know about you, but I want righteousness on my tab. I hope I've done something that God would say, you know what? We're going to account that for righteousness for Brother Knowles. Not that I'm anybody. It's his righteousness. It's all about what he done. But this is what Abraham did. He believed God. He trusted God. And he obeyed God. And that's what it meant when, you know, this wasn't some little conversation where Abraham kind of agreed. This was Abraham believing what God meant. When God told him to get up and leave his father's house, he left his father's house. When he told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees, he got up and he left Ur of the Chaldees. When he told him, he said, hey, you need to get out of this land. I'm going to show you a place that you're going to go. In fact, I got a city I want you to look for, whose builder and maker is not man, but it's God. Abraham got up not knowing where he would go. And here's the thing about following God. He don't always give you directions. Sometimes his directions is just one step at a time. It doesn't always give you the big picture, because if you saw the big picture, you wouldn't go. You'd say, I ain't going around that corner. I'm not going down that hill. I see what's down there. And so God leads us to the place, and Abraham trusted and obeyed Abraham, and God said, I'll account that to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham, if you look at him, he wasn't what we call by looking at him a righteous man. You know, we have our description of who we think is righteous. We kind of have a portrait in our mind of somebody that we think may look righteous. But you probably wouldn't have thought Abraham qualified to be righteous. If you would have looked at old Abraham back in that day, you probably wouldn't have thought that. But he trusted in what God said. He obeyed what God said. And God said, you know what, Brother Wilson? I'm going to do righteousness on his tab. He's righteous because he obeyed me. And there's a lot of people that don't fit our description of what we think they should be. And we like to pass judgment and wonder or think, you know, perhaps they're not where they need to be. Listen, righteousness ain't for you to judge, because it don't come from you. It comes from God. So when God looks at an individual and he deems that person righteous, they are righteous. It don't matter what they look like. It don't matter what they're wearing. It don't matter where they've been. Listen, Abraham come out of a place of idol worship. The Bible talks in the book of Job about his father. His father worshiped the idols across the river. And Abraham came out of idolatry and idol worship. And he probably wouldn't have looked like a righteous individual. But it ain't for nobody to judge who God accounts righteousness to. All you got to do is get up and obey and walk with God and do what God's told you to do. And God will look at your life and he will ascribe righteousness to your life. Somebody say amen. Now, the only person that's ever walked in the earth realm that was righteous was Jesus. Jesus didn't have to have righteousness bestowed on him like us. He was already righteous. He didn't have to have the righteousness of God imparted to him like we do. He was righteous when he got here. In Bethlehem's manger, he was the most righteous thing that had ever walked on this earth. And the scripture, a lot of times when it refers to righteousness in the Bible, it's referencing Jesus Christ. It's talking about him and his life. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. And so the righteousness of God is not going to be revealed in the life of Will Knowles. You're not going to see much righteousness in me. And it wouldn't be revealed in your life. But there was one that walked this earth that was perfect. And he was sinless. And he crossed every T and dotted every I. And there was no shame or sin or guilt or iniquity found in him. And he was the righteous branch of God. and he walked this earth, and he imparts that to us so that we can be called the righteousness of God. Somebody say amen. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. We all come out of Abraham. Somebody say amen. And the scripture, foreseeing that God, well, this is a shouty scripture right here. You ain't going to like it, but it's a shouty scripture. That God would justify the heathen. Let me tell you what you was. If you ever want to find out where you are in the Bible, you're a heathen. Yeah, I said it behind the pulpit. You a heathen. That's what you was before mercy showed up and grace showed up and God's blood showed up to wash you. You was nothing but an old heathen. And if you ain't been born again, I don't care how good you think they are, they still a heathen. That's what God called them. I didn't call them that. God called them that. But when his mercy finds you, anybody ever had the day in your life where God reached down and he picked you up? I think all of us are the recipients of the mercy of God and the recipients of the name of Jesus and all the good things of salvation. It don't matter how long you've been baptized. Don't you lift yourself up in righteousness. Don't you get caught up in self-righteous talking about, oh, I was baptized by Elder Deacon, back in the old church. No, that don't matter. If it wasn't for God, you would have never been baptized. Oh, I've seen so many church folks, boy, they just bow their chest out and look so dumb. Well, I've had the Holy Ghost 48 years. And you lifting yourself up like you somebody. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to breathe. If it wasn't for God, it don't matter how long you've had the Holy Ghost. If mercy wouldn't have showed up, you'd still be a heathen. Somebody say amen. I've seen people stick their chest out and they parade that they've done all this. Let me tell you something. If his blood don't get on you, you're a heathen. If his blood don't wash you and his anointing don't find you, it don't matter. This is why when we come here, we don't sing songs about me. Well, Brother Brown did a good job Sunday morning, but we don't sing songs about Brother Brown. Brother Brown ain't got no righteousness in him. I don't have none in me. This is why we get together and we sing about Jesus. And we clap about Jesus. And we worship him. And we sing songs and run and dance and lift our voice because he's the one that brought us out of the miry clay. Come on, somebody. Woo! What David said in Psalms 40. David said, let me tell you where I've been. Let me tell you where I come from. Oh, Lord, I just feel like meddling. Oh, my gosh. You see all these families in Pentecost, they think they're so good. And oh, come on, we ain't none of us righteous. Ain't nobody righteous but Jesus Christ. And if you got it on your life, he put it there on you. David said, he brought me up. Who did it, David? God did it. I met a few people. When you talk to them, they think they brought themselves up. Well, I got to just get up and tie my bootstraps and square my shoulders and just, I got to bow my neck and get a second bread. Oh, that all sounds good, but you better know he's the only one that can bring you up. He's the only one that can bring you out. He said he brought me out of a horrible pit. How you going to get yourself out of a pit? You ever been in a circumstance only God could get you out of? Don't you forget it. Don't you forget where you come from and what God brought you out of. Don't you forget where you was. Some of us come through divorce and addiction and pain and recovery. Let me tell you something. We better always remember the hog pen that we lived in times past. It was God that came along with his mercy. It was God that came along with his grace. If his mercy wouldn't have showed up, I'd still be a heathen in the hog pen. This is why you don't look down your nose at anybody. Y'all gonna make me pull my coat off. Don't you look at somebody standing on a street corner and think that couldn't be you. The average American family is without 4 checks from being there. Because 90% are the people in here living check to check, waiting on Friday, headed to the bank when you go get that check. You ain't but 3 or 4 weeks away from being put out. Don't you look down your nose like you got it all together. When you start thinking you got it all together, you better pull yourself to an altar. You better drag yourself up here. That's your flesh. And nobody could have got you out of that pit of addiction, that pit of pornography, that pit of drugs or alcohol or whatever you was dealing with. David said, he put me on a rock. Only God could put me on that rock. He established my going. I don't even know where I'm going, but God orders our steps and leads us to the place and pasture that he wants to put us in. God does all that. That ain't because of my righteousness. That's his righteousness. Matthew chapter 19. I'm hastening to a close. I won't be too much longer. Behold, one came, said to him, "Good master, what good thing should I do that I can have eternal life?" Well, that's a question we should all ask, right? He said unto him, he said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and you know that." And he says, "You know, you've got to keep the commandments." He said unto him, he said, "Which?" And Jesus said, "You know the commandments. You can't murder. You can't steal. You can't commit adultery. You can't, you know, bear false witness. Honor your mother and father. You got to love your neighbor too." I know we struggle with that sometimes, but this is what the young man said, verse 20. "Young man saith unto him," he said, "all these things have I kept from my youth up." Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm going to be very honest. I don't want to stand next to him at judgment. I mean, if he's been that good, he's kept all that. I done slipped a few times. Let him go first. I don't want to stand up by him, right? I mean, you're telling me you never lied? You never just kind of got back to the corner and had to kind of twist it a little bit? Y'all look right here. I mean, you never stole? You paid your tithes every week? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm just having fun. You've never used the Lord's name in vain? You never bear false witness, or you never looked over at your neighbor's house and said, "Boy, I like that new car they got." And there was a little, I don't know, a little righteous jealousy in there. Thinking, "Boy, I'd really like to have one of them." Covet your neighbor's property or something that didn't belong to you. I mean, this guy's got it all together. I don't want to stand next to him. Anybody in here want to stand next to him? But see, here's the deal. Listen to me. He's kept the law of God. He has. But here's what you got to understand about the law of God. It's perfect until it's filtered through the flesh of man. And when it's filtered through the flesh of man, it's not perfect like it's meant to be. This is why Paul told the Corinthians, he said, the law was weak through the flesh. What does he mean by that? It means the flesh could be disciplined to keep the law, but the flesh couldn't keep the spirit of the law. I can discipline myself and not commit adultery. I can keep the letter of the law through discipline, but can you keep the spirit of the law through your heart? And so it's easy to sit back and go, "Well, I've never killed anybody." Have you hated your brother? Oh, it's easy to sit there and say, "You know, I've never murdered anybody. I kept the letter." But what about in the spirit? Did you look at somebody with anger or racism or hatred? Maybe because of the color of their skin. Oh, it's easy to sit back and go, "Well, I ain't never committed adultery." I ain't never pulled my pants down. But have you ever looked on anybody and lusted? Come on, somebody. And so Jesus is trying to teach him, it's not so much about keeping the letter of the law. It's about the spirit of the law. And this man says, I've kept all these since my youth, but he was not ready for eternity. Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and there shall be treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. And I know we like to beat this old rich young ruler up, and we like to say, you know, he had all this greed in his heart and he wouldn't do it. Ain't none of us sold everything. But the last time you sold everything and gave it to the church. We ain't no better than him. There's none righteous, no, not one. If there's anything good in me or anything righteous, God gave it to me. Somebody say amen. And we can stomp our feet and get mad at this guy, but it's easier keeping the letter than it is obeying the spirit. It's easy to say, you know, I never murdered anybody, but you did with your lips. When you talked about them, y'all ready for me to quit, ain't you? And the righteousness of God wants us to get a hold of the spirit of the law and not be concerned with the letter of the law, because the letter of the law says you can't do this, but the spirit of the law goes to the opposite direction. It's easy to say, I've never murdered, but the spirit says you need to love. Because you can sit back and fold your hands and say, I've never murdered anybody, but have hate in your heart. And God wants us to love everybody. I don't care what color they are. I don't care if they're rich. I don't care if they're poor. I don't care if they're crazy. I don't care if they're odd. I don't care if they're quirky. God wants us to love our neighbor. Come on, somebody. And that involves righteousness of the spirit, not just keeping the law of God. Somebody say amen. And the good thing about Jesus is that Jesus was the only one that truthfully was able to fulfill the letter and the spirit of the law. Because he had no sin in him anywhere. He never, ever made a decision and his motive wasn't right. You know, God judges our motives. Sometimes we do the right thing, but we don't have the right motive behind it. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your old deceitful heart that's wicked. That Jeremiah said, who can know it? I'm talking about that old dirty, nasty heart. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Because there's a lot of times we did the right thing and we just wanted a pat on the back from somebody and our motive was so impure. I'm thinking to pat myself on the back. Jesus never sinned. He never found himself in a circumstance where he was lusting after anybody. He handled every circumstance with dignity and respect and honor. His motives were always pure. And this is why God laid the iniquity of us all at his feet. Because he's the only one that could deal with it. And Isaiah talked about this. He said, God laid the iniquity upon us all. And Isaiah said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Because there was only one that could deal with our sin issue. There was only one that was really righteous. And God took my sin. And he took your sin. And he took your biggest failure. He took your smallest failure. He did what you did today. And he laid it at the feet of Jesus. And it pleased him to bruise him because it dealt with the sin. It dealt with what separated us from God. And so it pleased him to chastise him and whip him and hang him on a cross. He was the only one that could do it because he was the only righteous person in the earth. You'd have hung me on a cross. There ain't enough righteousness in me to heal a cold sore on your mouth. I ain't got enough in me. I couldn't have forgave your smallest sin. I don't care how good you think they are. If God don't bestow righteousness on them, they're not righteous. And there's some troubling little scriptures. You know, God called Lot righteous when he lived in Sodom. I'll let you think on that, but he did. And I look at that and I say, Lord, how in the world? And if you're doing your Bible reading, you just read that. I know some of y'all behind. It's okay. You just got to catch up. Anybody know what chapter we're on today? Don't even. Come on now. Come on, Brown. And I'm thinking, you know, Lot's got so twisted up in Sodom. He's got so twisted up, he's wanting to give his daughters to these perverse men. They got people knocking on the door trying to get these angels that have come to visit him, and he's all twisted up and got his family in this perverse place. But you know what God said about him? God called him righteous. So you know what that means? I'm going to take my hands off of it. God can call whoever he wants righteous. That ain't up for me to hand out or bestow or judge on anybody. If God calls you righteous and he accounts it under your tab, you're righteous. Everybody stand. Would you stand tonight? I think we should endeavor to live as faithful as we can to God this year. And I think we should endeavor to make right decisions in everything we do. Examine our motives to make sure they're pure. Let me tell you something. Nothing matters down here but pleasing God. That's it. If you're doing it for anything but that, you're doing it for the wrong reason. The only thing that matters is hearing him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want God to account it unto my tab that I've followed, that I've obeyed, that I've went out, and that I did what God told me to do. And he looked over Brother Miller and he said, Knowles, account that for him as righteousness. Because I know within me there's none. But I know within him there's righteousness. Somebody say amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. It pays to live for God. It pays to live right. And it pays to do right. Everybody say amen. 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 Lift your hands. God, we love you tonight. We love you so much, God. You're so good to us. God, we thank you for this church, the members that are here, this faithful core on a Wednesday night. I pray you'd bless them, God. Bless them for getting out tonight in the dark and the cold and driving across town. Boy, it had just been easy to stay home. But they didn't stay home. They came. They came, God. You know what? It was the right thing to do. And so I just pray, God, that you would just heap coals of blessings upon their family and their children, their lives. I pray, God, that you'd help us to walk with you and be an example of righteousness to this world. God, we love you. We thank you for your mercy. Found us one day, picked us up, wash us all in your blood. We thank you for every prayer request that was mentioned in this house. Meet it, God, according to your will. Send provision to families that need it. Send healing to bodies that need it. Help us on our job, whatever it is we're going through. Always be that present help, and you are in the time of trouble. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you tonight. Clap your hands to the Lord. Love you all very much.